This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, Six Capitals, Six Points of View, Wintertime, 2023. We go to Brussels, a twin capital, and I'm going to emphasize climate because whatever wisdom we have about preparing for a long war, it takes into account that weather is unpredictable. And the thing that was not expected was a mild winter in Europe. Mild winter in North America, mild winter everywhere. I had routine reports that it was snowing in Occitane, France, and modest in London and Berlin. So
It snowed in Kuwait.
So what we have here is an unpredictable climate that at this point says that the feared embargo or blockade or cutoff of Russian natural gas, which would lead to people being cold in their homes or unable to pay for electricity. That has not happened yet. But there's the winter of 24, the winter of 25. Germany's building floating natural gas processing piers as fast as possible for the liquefied natural gas that's flowing to Germany. They've reopened a coal field despite the protests. The French are working very hard to maintain or to reawaken their nuclear power plants, some of which are troubled by long-delayed maintenance. There are other things that I could go through, but in any event, the EU at this point is looking for climbing out of a bad business environment because of inflation. The European Central Bank is active. Everybody's waiting for prosperity. But as of now, Germany's saying they've avoided a recession. So, Professor, the EU point of view, are they encouraged? Are they pleased? Because many of those states are also NATO.
My view is that they're, most of them are puzzled. They don't know what they really don't have a clear idea of what's happening or where we're going, because for one thing, there is no clear leadership. I mean, we in America tend to say, well, we're with the Ukrainians, whatever they like. That's not a good way to deal with an ally. You should have an idea of what you would like the ally to do, not just say, well, yes, we'll do whatever you think is a good idea. The Europeans are also indecisive and divided, as they have been for as long as I can remember, and they are still absorbed very much in their own domestic preoccupations, such as winning and losing elections, employment. All these are things that are actually very important. But I don't think they fully understand, and I would say that Washington doesn't fully understand either, how important this war and its end and its sequel and all the rest is going to be to the formation of to the future of Europe and to the future of the world. There's been an attempt to somehow say, well, this war isn't really a war. It's sort of contained in one place, and we're kind of helping them, but we're not sending any soldiers, and the Russians are, there's actually a lot of sympathy for the Russians, particularly in France. And there's not an awareness that the whole post-war order that really originated, you could say, 1949 with the official division of Germany, that is now, of course, with the end of the Soviet Union, that order changed dramatically. But this war is going to affect the order of Europe. It's also going to affect the whole structure of power balances and so forth in Eurasia. And I understand that it's a good thing that if the French will get their reactors, if they'll maintain their reactors and sort of change the oil and stuff so that they don't go critical. And I'm glad that the Germans are finally getting around to building facilities to receive LNG. This is all very beneficial. It's very wise. It's long overdue. But I don't think that they quite grasp the full significance of what's going on around them. They're still, to some extent, living in an imaginary world in which the United States and Russia are really the powers, and the United States is both a problem for them, yet it's their security blanket. And what's going to happen, unfortunately or fortunately, is that they're not going to have a security blanket. They're going to have the Europeans are going to have to somehow unify themselves so they become a functional polity, at least as far as foreign policy and defense go. And they're also going to have to link themselves around the whole crescent of Eurasia, because Europe doesn't have an eastern geographical boundary that is marked by any kind of a natural feature. The land just keeps on going. And if you, say, take the train in Russia, after a couple of days out of Moscow, you'll come to a stele. And on one side of the stele, it says Europe, and on the other side, it says Asia. Now, you can go to Gibraltar, and you can have, and that's, of course, Africa, but you can go to you can go to Istanbul, and you have the same business about what's Europe and Asia. Well, in fact, it's all one piece, and we have to learn to think of it as one piece, because it's already functioning as one piece. So I think that the Europeans are going to have to do the most thorough rethink of their domestic, their collective, and their international policy that they have done, I guess, since, really, I would say, since the 40s.
The question again about Brussels has to do with the understanding that Europe has several years more of reawakening its energy resources absent Russia, or is that changing, Professor?
I think they're going to manage, but they certainly made a series of most unwise decisions. But I don't think that the energy situation in Europe is going to have a decisive effect on the outcome of this war. In other words, I don't think that Ukraine is going to be thrown under the bus because of European concerns about climate and energy and all the rest. Now, they might be thrown under the bus for other reasons, but I think not for those reasons. And I think that not everybody will join in the throwing. I think there would be a tremendous argument within Europe and in the world if such a thing were considered. And this is something I think that the Ukrainians know, and they're aware of how fragile some of their connections are, or how vulnerable they are. And this is a vulnerability that could have a decisive effect.
One more capital. We're going to D.C., Washington, D.C., in wintertime, and between the election, the midterm election, and Congress returning to domestic concerns. What about D.C. and the Ukraine conflict? Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Friends Vista Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.